It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott's back from Amsterdam, and Mary Jo Foley's still in, I want to say Boston, New York City. Turns out they're both from Boston, but we'll talk about that later. In fact, we've got a little segment on how to speak Boston later on the show, plus some beer picks, and finally a date for Windows 8.1. It's all coming up next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 324, recorded August 15th, 2013. Patent blowback. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Shutterstock.com. With over 26 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips, Shutterstock helps you take your creative projects to the next level. For 30% off on your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use the offer code Windows8. And by Carbonite. Whether you have one computer at home or several at your small business, Carbonite backs up your files for you automatically and continually for only $59.99 a year. Try it free at Carbonite.com. No credit card required. Use the offer code Windows and you'll get 2 bonus months with purchase. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we cover all your Microsoft and Windows needs, your Xbox, your Zune, anything you got that has the big M on it. That's Motorola, so forget it. Paul Thurrott is still here. He's in Dutchland, where he's going to soon be aggressing into coming back home. You took a train to Delft. Did you get some china?
No. I was actually kind of disappointed that Delft porcelain looks exactly like Dedham porcelain.
You seen one figurine, you seen them all.
Oh, well. No, it's that blue. It's like this blue color.
Yeah.
That's like what we have in Dedham.
Yeah. Well, it's famous,
so though,
right?
I've declared war in Delft.
So you didn't buy a bunch of dishes and mail them back home or anything like that?
No, we didn't do that.
But you've had a good time.
Yeah.
Visited World War II battlefields?
No, we didn't do that. We went to a resistance museum.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
I'll let you in on a little secret. There wasn't much resistance, Leo.
Not in Holland. In Holland, they just went along. Well, it's Germany and Deutschland. There's not much difference. It's all the same.
Well, it's like they have an exhibit where they say, there's a family that wants to take the Jewish kid next door to the zoo. And then the mother decides, I don't know, we could get in a lot of trouble for doing that. And so it's like, well, what should she do? And what she did was she left the Jewish kid at home.
Leave the kid at home.
Why
court
and it was
trouble?
There was no real lesson learned.
That was in the Resistance Museum?
It was like, this
that
was,
here's a story.
It's not always like it is in the U.S., Leo.
There's no Schindler's List. No, I'm just going to leave him at home. Yeah. But what wasn't Anne Frank's house in Amsterdam? Or am I?
It is.
That didn't work out so well either, so.
No, there's not a lot of happy stories.
No. Well, anyway, here we are once again. That's Paul Thurrott, the king of happy stories. Mary Jo Foley. Yeah, he's the eternal optimist, Paul Thurrott. Mary Jo Foley is also here. She's the eternal pragmatist.
Yeah.
Writes all about Microsoft at allaboutmicrosoft.com for the ZDNet folks. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Good to be back. We missed you, Paul.
I wish I could say the same.
Oh. You know, when Mary Jo told me you hadn't had a vacation in 10 years?
Yeah.
I'm so glad you took last week off. That's great. And you didn't write anything for the blog or anything?
Mm-mm.
That's great, Paul. Good for you.
Actually, it was funny. The notable thing about doing that for me was every day I would get my mail on the phone, and you'd have like 60 emails, And a lot of them are Google alert type things or work-related things.
Right.
And so it was actually really interesting being able to just be like, delete, 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 delete. Not really have to even think about it.
I don't care. I don't care. I don't care.
Yeah.
So, the world could end. Microsoft could divide into 3 divisions. Steve Ballmer could step down, and I don't care.
I don't care because I've discovered a new beer.
See, beer solves all.
Oh, we do have to thank Paul though for mistakenly saying that Schoof was a Dutch beer.
It's a Belgian beer.
Yeah. Some reason, people got the impression you thought it might be a Dutch beer. And the reason I'm thanking you, you know better. But the reason I'm thanking you is somebody in Paris sent me two bottles of Schouf saying...
And it is amazing.
I can't wait. I haven't had it yet.
Yeah. So that's the one kind you can probably get in the U.S., you know, at specialty stores.
Yeah, it's from BevMo.
But they actually have different versions of Schouf. There's a kind of an IPA that probably Mary Jo would like.
This is Dublin IPA Triple.
Oh, maybe that's
which
it.
Sounds like a double. Sounds like a double triple IPA.
Well, actually, so I'm sorry. That is the IPA. So that's not the one I really like. That's the what's it called? What's the name of it?
Houblon.
Yeah, that's the one Houblon. Mary Jo would like.
Yeah she likes. It's also a dark. It's also 9% alcohol.
I would love that. So,
the dark one is called Mixschuf, and the little guy on the front is wearing a kilt.
It's so cute. Yeah, this guy's got. I guess as a gnome. And this guy's got some sort of, he's looking at, I don't know what he's doing. It's unclear.
Yeah, so this is a slightly different logo for each one of the versions.
He might be weaving baskets.
Those are hop plants.
Gathering hops.
Yeah, those are hops.
And he has such a big behind that he's knocking over the stakes behind him.
He's a gnome. It's
comical.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably better after you've had the beer.
Had a couple of those.
Yeah. I can't wait. I'm saving it.
I will be having it later tonight.
Do you drink it cold, or do you drink it like the Brits do, with a little bit of...
No, it's got to be cold.
Got to be cold. All right, I'm putting it in the fridge. Anyway, we have a date, and, you know, last week it took two to take Paul's place. It was a lot of fun. We had Brad Wardell from Stardock. Mm-hmm. And and of course, Ed Bott.
By the way, the first time I interviewed him, Brad, not Ed, he was still doing OS2 programming.
Yeah.
Yep.
He had written a game, Star something.
Yeah. He mentioned
that. Brought that up a few times.
Yeah, he mentioned that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He's
no, it was
still
a big deal.
He says, he says he loves OS2 as much as you love the Amiga.
I bet he does.
Yeah.
I believe that was the only major... you know, third-party game for OS2 ever. No, I'm serious.
Somewhat like telling. Tells you something.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ed kind of nailed it. We were talking about dates. We mentioned that MSDN would have the bits for the release of 8.1, this week? And that's true.
Which is wrong, though.
That's wrong.
Totally wrong.
Okay, but he did say October for the public release.
Yeah. Yep, he did.
And is that when MSDN's going to have it?
Yeah, that is when MSDN is going to have it. We think. Microsoft won't say that publicly, but that's what sources are saying. And so that's really different, right? Because usually what they do is they RTM a version of Windows. A couple weeks later, MSDN and TechNet and volume licensees get it. And then it's a big launch or NGA and retail. But it sounds like this year they're going to do everything on the same day, which is October 18th.
I shouldn't just give credit to Ed because you also said that.
Yeah, we were kind of guessing last week. We were all trying to guess, like, what's the RTM date going to be? And and they still haven't announced RTM, by the way. We think now maybe that'll be in another few days, maybe next week or the weekend.
It's going to be on August 37th.
I know, right?
The 12th of never.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but you know, it does make more sense because it didn't make a lot of sense to me. And I thought, well, this is strange. Yeah. Why would they have the final bits released at MSDN and then wait till October? So now this makes a little more sense. They are not done. It's not done.
Exactly. Not done.
Not done.
Not done. And, the apps in the box, too, have to be updated. Like, you know, Mail and what else? All the Bing apps, Xbox Music, Video, all those things. So those have to be updated, too, after the actual OS bits get finalized.
Right. Okay. Well, now we know.
Now, we think we know. It's weird. It's weird that they won't say, right? It's... Why not just say, you know what, everybody's going to get it on that date. Boom.
And there's, right. So is it still the case? Well, we don't know if it's done.
Oh, it's not done.
It's not done.
Not RTM'd yet. No.
Yeah. No. By the way,
Mary Jo might know this. Did they say when Windows Server and the other products were going to be on MSDN? I thought they might have.
Here's what they said also, which is interesting. So the same day, October 18th, they're also going to launch the Windows Server 2012 R2, System Center 2012 R2, and Windows Intune. And they said in the blog post about that everybody's going to get it on that date. Volume licensees, TechNet, MSDN, everybody gets the server bits and the Intune bits on October 18th. So on the server side, they're being very clear about this. And on the client side, they're not saying. So there you go.
They're mysterious people.
Mysterious in their ways.
I know, right?
They work in mysterious ways.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now we know. There you go. No matter where you are, there you go.
Oh, but we should talk about October 17th, right? Because this was the weird thing. So,
I love this announcement. This
I know.
So
you
beautiful.
Should talk about this part because this is funny, actually.
I read this to my wife with the understanding that my wife does not care about technology or whatever. But the quote from Microsoft, I'm trying to use the trackpad that doesn't work, is so priceless because they don't just say, hey, by the way, we're going to ship this thing on this date at this time. They have this convoluted schedule that for some reason begins in the last time zone on Earth on the previous day.
And then it's biblical. This is biblical.
So amazing.
Right.
It's like starting at 12 a.m. on October 18 in New Zealand. Actually, it's the next day, I guess.
On the
That's 4
a.m.
October 17 in Redmond. Windows 8 will be 8.1 will begin rolling out worldwide as a free update for consumers on Windows 8 through the Windows Store. By the way, notice they never say Windows RT there, but okay.
Right.
Windows 8.1 will also be available at retail and on new devices starting on October 18 by market. So mark your calendars. Mark my calendars. You just gave us three dates. What am I marking? This is like, why can't you just
block out a whole bunch of days? That's what you do.
We're losing.
So, what raise they have? Oh no!
You breaking
yeah,
up?
Yeah, there you are. You're
up.
Back.
There you go.
You're
He's back. He's back. He's back.
Sorry.
So
I think when you went on the rant,
I think we understood. There was too many bits coming out of your head, and Skype couldn't keep up.
All right.
But I think we understand the general gist of your complaint here. but that's because I don't know what the hell. You know what? Apple does this. You can buy the iPhone first in New Zealand, and then
they actually do this.
Yeah, the people from iFixit fly to New Zealand to get it,
right,
so that they can get it before anyone else.
That's what you say. In other words, the bits will become available in your time zone, like everywhere in the world.
Right.
12 a.m. on whatever the date is. And that's it. Done. One time, one date. Done.
Yeah.
New Zealand happens to be first or last, or however you measure that, fine. They can have it first. You know, whatever. it's so stupid.
It is. You know? It's a little crazy.
And God bless them because I have a career, but they can't explain anything clearly. They just can't.
It does seem odd. It does seem like a somewhat of a disadvantage to a communications
it's
department.
Diabolical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Diabolical. Wow. Wow.
I'd say inept, but diabolical.
Diabolical. Diabolical. I love it. All right. So what date is that?
Yeah,
exactly.
Block out the whole middle of October and you'll be covered.
I'm glad because, you know, I'm going to be back October 8th from my overseas travels. So I will be here in time. And
good.
Will you, though?
It's hard to say.
Hey, you know what else we don't know, by the way? Where is the launch?
Oh, yes. Will there be a party?
They're acting like October 18th is a big day, right? But where?
Well,
I mean,
the
past launches have been New York, but it doesn't mean this one is.
So, did they have a launch for Service Pack, for XP Service Pack 2?
No, and by the way, that's an interesting point.
I know.
Because Mary Jo and I, between ourselves, and I think we might have talked about this on the podcast, have discussed whether we think of this thing as an update to Windows 8 and Windows RT, which is sort of the way I've presented it because of the language they use and so forth, or is it a new Windows version?
If you have a launch, it sounds like it's a new Windows version.
I would also say that the 2 month delta between we've completed it and we're releasing it to the public is also what you do for a Windows release, not what you would do for a service pack. Or
absolutely.
Right? I mean, I think that answers the question right there.
Yeah. I mean, we're assuming there's going to be a launch. I actually think there will be because there's going to be new hardware available around that date too. And it would make sense to show off like some of these new mini tablets coming preloaded with Windows 8.1. So I think there will be a launch of some kind.
Right, and they don't want to disadvantage those tablets, right, by having people be able to get it on their existing hardware ahead of time.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. So that's the launch. The launch is a bunch of new hardware. It's Microsoft, it's probably new Surface Eye. Surface?
So a lot of people have speculated about that. Is this date somehow tied to new Surface devices?
I'm just going to say it. It is.
Sounds reasonable.
That sounds. Yeah. That's why you'd have a party.
Yeah.
And maybe you'd show some Lenovo stuff. But just on the side. Sure. Oh, and there's other partners. Oh, that's what it is.
We're getting to the point where there almost aren't other
Nobody's
partners.
Doing RT. Everybody's pulling back from there.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that would make sense. Okay, so I'm going to start that rumor that's when the new Surfaces come out. And I'm going to say Surfaces.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to say Surfaces.
It's reasonable.
Yeah.
Surfaces.
So, but there's no reason to get new hardware for 8.1. It's not like new hardware-dependent features are emerging.
Well.
They are.
The smaller screen and the port, that's better support inch. For portrait, right, is better.
So a 7-inch might come out then.
Yeah, that would be awesome. The 7 or 8-inch Surface, whatever that thing is, that would be great timing for that, actually.
Would that have to be RT? Could it be Pro?
It could be Pro, but...
I think it should be RT, actually.
I do, too.
Yeah, so, you do? I got it now.
Wow.
Here's what you're going to get. I think RT
makes sense for a pure consumption device.
You're going to get your Haswell, low-power Haswell chip Surface Pro.
Atom or something else.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and by the way, so I stepped through this in my own head. I was thinking, you know, instead of Surface RT like they have now, they could have a base just called... And it would...
Sometimes when Paul steps through stuff in his own head, it
doesn't there's a core.
Flow.
And then come out through Skype?
No.
Only
we
every
didn't hear
third
your thoughts.
Word. Try again.
Right, let me try that again.
Yeah.
So I was thinking that RT could move down to the mini device.
Yeah.
They could use Windows 8 Core with a low-end Intel chipset, like a Bay Trail, whatever, as Surface, just Surface.
Yeah.
And then there could be a Surface Pro that would be Windows 8 Pro.
Yeah.
And would run a high-end Haswell chipset.
Like it.
And kind of a nice differentiating, you know, lineup.
So you're thinking three Surfaces.
Snappy.
You got the Surface Pro, the Surface RT, and the Surface Mini.
And I'll just go, since we're speculating and what the hell, it's fun. I think the Surface Pro should be a bigger device as well.
Yeah, bigger, not smaller. Yeah. I like it. So a 12-inch, 13-inch maybe? What do you think?
Yeah, somewhere at 13, typical Ultrabook size. And that the base that they could add for that would be an actual hardware keyboard. It would be an Ultrabook.
But then it's a laptop. Do you think they'll do a laptop?
Yeah. I don't actually think they're going to do this. I'm just saying this is what I would like them to do.
That would be too awesome. I think I'm worried.
It's too good. It's way too logical and clean. You know.
Yeah.
Why didn't they do a laptop, frankly? Was it to keep the partners happy or...
I think they're doing the future Windows thing, you know,
which is tablet.
They're trying to set the stage for that hybrid new type of computer. Like, here's something that we recognize as a tablet that we sort of recognize as a laptop. Maybe this is the hybrid computing future.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah. And I think the reason they didn't do it originally when they did Windows 8 was they were really intent on proving that everybody's going to tablets. And that's why we built a tablet and touch first operating system, because it's all about tablets.
Right,
and
right.
I think now that they
see... This is going to come out snarkier than I intended, but how did that work out?
How did that work out?
Yeah, right. How did that work out for you? Yeah. No, that's not snark. That's just a question. It's legitimate.
And, you know, now that they're making Windows 8.1, now that they're making it a better PC operating system and not just a tablet OS, I think it makes sense to say, hey, what if somebody did a PC too?
Right.
Yeah. It would be great if it was Microsoft.
So
it would be very meaningful if it was Microsoft, because a lot of people are accusing this company of walking away from the PC.
It might be a step, but would they see it internally as a step backwards?
Sure.
An acknowledgement that the tablet.
There's
first...
the doorbell.
Okay,
I'll be right back.
The children have arrived, and Paul is now going to drop a set of keys out the window. Let's watch this. A little athletic moment here on Windows Weekly.
Hopefully he's not hanging over a balcony right now.
I certainly hope he comes back.
Yeah.
Okay.
We just see the curtain swinging in the wind.
It does. It's a little bit like the poignant end to a gangster film.
Kind of. He disappears. There's a little wind.
He never came back. There he is.
There he is. Okay.
Sorry.
No, no. No, it gave us a little moment, a little respite in our daily lives. No, Paul, you're too young, says Webo 709. You're too young.
Trying to get the little light out of there.
Sorry. Je ne regrette rien. Okay. Should we move along, or would you like to speculate some more on what October 18th, 17th, and 19th will hold?
I think that's enough speculation.
Right. I love it. Microsoft, listen to these people. 8-inch RT, 7, 8-inch RT, maybe from Nokia as well as Microsoft.
Yep.
A Surface Pro, 13-inch, maybe a laptop. Would we still do the 10?
Yeah, Surface.
Why not?
It's Surface.
Surface, Surface, Surface.
Surface with Haswell, right? Surface with Haswell 10-inch.
Microsoft comes up for air October 18th. I see it now. That's the only reason you have a party, because they aren't pushing this as a new version of Windows. They really don't want to position that way, do they? No.
Hard to say.
Yeah, good question.
They go back and forth, right? Like, sometimes they're like, you know what? This is just an update to Windows 8. Other times they're like, this has 200 new features. It's a whole new version of Windows, right?
And, Yeah. Although you could have said that for SP, too. We were talking about this last week.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't think so very different. Okay. Microsoft back to bundling. Who wrote this? It's like riding a bike, Leo.
Guess who wrote that?
That's Paul Thurrott.
Well,
you know, once you've broken the ice on bundling, it's hard. It's hard to give up. Do we need an intervention?
No, I actually think
Western the
bundling in this case is a good thing.
Yeah.
So. What spurred this is Microsoft announced today officially that Skype is going to be bundled in Windows 8.1.
Right.
So it doesn't mean it's built into the OS. It means it's one of the apps that they're going to ship as part of the package, just like they do with Mail and Xbox Music.
That's not surprising.
Not surprising at all.
Yeah.
But, you know, immediately it sets off all the people who are like, uh-oh, here comes the DOJ.
Yeah. No.
Yep. Yep. The tweets are already going on that.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, they shouldn't, because using Microsoft's own market definition, they don't control 90%.
Paul's freezing a lot. Are you? You must be on Wi-Fi, huh, Paul?
I don't think
have any market anymore. Oh man.
Yeah.
No, there's something.
You're not
wrong
on
with the
Wi-Fi,
connection
right?
It's just a bad connection.
I'm actually on a wire.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just no, I'm not. It's just there's something wrong with it. There's like,
that's all right. It comes and goes.
Every once in a while, it just goes down. It's really strange.
Can't blame the kids. They weren't home.
No. There's nothing. It's not in the house. There's something wrong. It's been like this the whole time. I guess it happened right before we got here.
Yeah. That's fine. That's fine.
So, you know, back in 1998 or whatever, Microsoft obviously owned 90 something percent of the computing market. Today, they don't. They own like 30%.
Right.
And, their competitors in the intervening time frame, Apple at first, but now Google, of course, bundle all of their products and services together regularly. That Microsoft is competing within, they don't own a monopoly of any kind at all.
Yeah.
And so I think them bundling is absolutely not just fine, but is strategically important.
I have to say.
If their competitors are doing it, right? Like, how can you say, okay, if Apple, Google can do something similar, why can't Microsoft?
And frankly, that was always, even in 98, that was 1998, not 1898. Even in 1998, that was.
It feels like 1898.
It does. That was the argument, which is it's completely appropriate for an operating system to include a browser. And in fact, now you have the Chromebook, which is just a browser.
I agree with all that. It's just that, you know, one of the arguments, because people would write me and say, hey, Apple bundles this and that with Mac. How come Microsoft can't do this?
It has to do with market share. I understand.
There are different rules for companies that aren't monopolies.
Monopolies
so,
are different.
Now, by Microsoft's own definition, they are not a monopoly. So when Frank Shaw announced that the iPad was a PC, remember, we said they're doing this for a reason.
Yes.
This isn't Microsoft propping up a competitor. This is them positioning themselves to be able to do things like this.
Right.
Yeah.
See?
I don't think there will be any regulatory
kickback
complaint
at all.
Of any merit at all.
No.
for this.
No, I mean, because also you can uninstall Skype. It's in the box,
unlike
as they say, but
IE. IE really was knitted into the fabric of of the space-time continuum.
Knitted.
It was. Yeah, so you can uninstall it and unpin it. You can do all the things you could do with an app. It's not like so built in that you can't get rid of it. And, you know, since they are killing Messenger, this is the replacement for that, so that you want to have a built-in messaging program.
They've always had Messenger built in, so what's the difference? Yeah. Now you can make phone calls. And also, it has to be, by the way, a monopoly in operating systems, not a monopoly in voice over internet calling, right?
Yeah, right.
They didn't have a monopoly in browsers, but they got in trouble because they were using their monopoly in operating systems as a wedge to get into a new market, and so that would be the same. That would be the thinking.
I sure, right, you have sure. to By abuse way, it, monopoly power, right? Like right. that's what you have to do
to enter a new market.
It's okay to be a monopoly
or prop up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, right. Nothing wrong with it.
Right.
Yep. God knows, hey, I'm a monopoly, and anyone wants to join me, please. Please. Okay. Windows 8.1 build 9,471, Paul. You got back from vacation, and you hit the deck running.
Yeah, so this leak, a lot of people are calling this build an escrow build, which I think Mary Jo would agree it is not.
What's that?
Meaning
what's an escrow?
A build that might potentially be used for the final version of the OS. It's not really all that close to that.
Right.
But it is a significant update to the version that is the preview version. It is about a month, if again. Between the Windows.
Say that last sentence again.
I mean, there are some significant differences. A lot of the built-in apps have been updated, for example. A lot of the integration features that they talked about in the preview timeframe but weren't available in the preview are in there now. So it's kind of a closer look at, you know, a near final version or moving toward the final version.
What's missing?
What's missing now?
Yeah, I mean, is it reliability or are there actual features?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's right. I don't know if there are more features to come. It looks pretty complete to me. It seems fairly stable to me.
Yeah. So maybe it's done, and they're just waiting for other things like hardware.
Well, I don't know what their internal schedule or process is at this point, but I would imagine that they have some list of bugs that they're still going through.
I love
that. And they always tweak performance at the end, too, right? So there's probably still things.
But I do like the conspiracy scenario that they set a date for releasing hardware and they have to match that date, even if they happen to be a little ahead of time on Windows 8.1.
Or as they would say it, we'll ship it when it's ready, Leo.
Yeah, we'll ship it when the other thing's ready.
You know what else is in this? What else is in this build that Paul got his hands on that's worth noting are the tutorials, right? So, there are tutorials built in here now to actually show you how to use Windows 8 and Windows 8.1.
Right.
And there's also a little, what do you call that thing that it cues you to where the start button
like
is?
Like tips.
Like a little tip, like, hey, the start button's over here.
Tool tips kind of thing? Or
I'm trying to figure out what triggers them. And unfortunately, what happens is when you get one, now it's gone. Right. So they appear for different reasons. Right. Like you get one for the start button. I got one today for the what I call the switcher, which is the Metro style app switching on the left side.
Yeah.
There's one that appears on the right for charms. And I think there's one that appears up in the corner one of the corners.
Hi, you look like you're confused. Would you like
it? Literally it is that level.
Yeah.
Like they're kind of funky looking. They're like
you don't look like you know what you're doing. Would you like me to help?
You seem to be fumbling around. Would you like to use a Mac?
But now this was, and just for some historical perspective, we talked about this. This was a big debate when Windows 8 came out, was how much do you teach people to use it? And I think they kind of compromised because they did have a little bit of a movie, but not a big one.
And it wasn't that much of a compromise. No. You know.
I don't know why you would fight over this. I mean,
you know why? You know what? This is why. They wanted to make a point that it was so easy you didn't need a tutorial.
They made that. They made a point, not that point.
They made the wrong point.
They made the wrong point.
Yeah. But that was supposedly why. right? That was why they didn't want to do it. They wanted to make it.
It's so easy. You don't need a movie.
It's almost like they did it to spite us.
Where have I heard that before?
I don't know. The funny thing about that was, you know, throughout the development of that OS last summer, they had put that little video in, and then they supposedly did a bunch of testing about whether this would be enough or whether they would need more. And universally, they found that they needed much more than what they had. And so then they took it out. And they were like, let's see how this goes.
Was it Sanofsky? And I guess, was that Sanofsky? Yeah. Let's be honest. Yeah.
I mean, and you know, Mary Jo may remember the details of this better than I do, but since Windows 8 has been released, Tim Reller has done this. It's possible that Julie Larson Green has said something to this effect. But they've actually had quotes where they say, you know, within 24 hours, like 30% of people actually found the charms.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
I know. It's not stats I would put out there.
Guys, it's not, you know, it doesn't say like achievement unlocked.
It's not a game.
Yeah. It's crazy. You know?
And I remember when I first started using Windows 8, I was using Windows RT on my Surface. Even when I used it every day, I would still forget things. I'm like, wait, now where? How do I do this again? And, you know, I know there are people who said, I learned it in 1 minute and I was great. I just saw other people fumbling. Right. Whenever you'd go into a Best Buy or anything and you'd watch people trying to figure it out, they'd just be like, oh, I don't know, and walk away, you know?
Right. And that's the problem. That's actually the problem.
Right. What you don't want to happen.
Do not walk away, please. So cooler heads have prevailed, probably in marketing, and have said, we're going to show people how to use it. But, you know, I got to tell you, it's something people are used to in mobile devices. Now, when I get a new app on Android or iPhone, this is a very common practice. The screen goes dark. It's still there. And there's this blue overlays that say, touch this to do this, touch this to do this. We're used to it now. We expect it. It is the new form of manual. I don't think there's any harm in doing that.
No.
It's not an acknowledgement that you failed.
If you don't want it, don't look at the tutorial, right? I mean, it's not like forcing you.
Well, and of course, in Windows 8, it did. I mean, you couldn't proceed unless you got it. Yeah, Apple had the same issue when it changed for no reason, decided, you're scrolling the wrong way. So we're going to do it differently from everybody else in the world and from how we've done it for 15 years and reverse the scroll. And now when you install a new Mac, you have to watch a movie, and more than that, there's a quiz.
You have to complete the quiz. Yeah, yeah.
That you've understood this by scrolling.
You've reminded me that, and I think I know it was Julie Larson Green who said this, that that little intro video we were kind of joking about earlier. Some significant percentage of people, upon seeing that while Windows was being set up in the background, assumed they had to duplicate the steps.
Yes, I did.
So, right? I did too.
Going, what? What? Right? What?
No, there's nothing for you to do. I don't know why we're doing
it. Just watch.
It's so stupid. Like, it's
morons.
It really blows my mind.
It does. It blows my mind. But it's just, it's why we still have work, folks.
Yeah. That's what, exactly. Yeah.
It's not anything new. The computer industry has always had a very hard time explaining to normal people how to use technology.
It's been like 30 years.
I think we figured it out.
Look, I don't always get it right, but learn to communicate in general.
And again, I feel like I'm biting the hand that feeds us, but fortunately, these companies still haven't figured it out. and they threw away the manual, so it's now you really...
Right.
Paul's got to write the book. Aw, gee, shucks. Aw, rats.
Keeps him busy.
David Pogue made millions of dollars by coming up with this concept, The Missing Manual.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And O'Reilly bought it, and they have do a whole series of books, the thing that should have come with your computer or technology, but didn't.
Yeah. Yep. All right, those were the good old days. Remember the old IBM, PC DOS? Manuals would be like huge.
I have them over here, and they would come in a slip box.
Yep. Yep.
So because they know you're going to save it.
Yeah, and you're going to get the.
I got to get it.
New page. I always loved it. I loved it when it was new.
Oh, I pulled it out. I pulled it out of the slip.
Yeah,
box.
You pull it out. This is a slip case.
Word manual.
Sure. Oh, that's documentation right there.
This is how you do it, folks. It says the high performance software.
It's like,
yes.
This is
that's why you had the turbo switch Ethel on your computer.
Yeah, this is Ethel. The old logo. God, I miss those days. Word processing version 3.0 for IBM personal computers. So this came with the IBM computers. Yeah, I have the whole set. It's all up there. I pulled this out of the slip box, unfortunately, but it has a slip box. Thanks. I think Fraser brought me these. Thank you, Fraser. This is
amazing.
They don't do this anymore. Well, no, we got the ribbon. Just look at the ribbon.
No, but then you do so. You have to do this. You're on a plane, right? And you hit F1 to look for help. For something, and it tries to connect to the internet to get the help. And you're like, really? You know,
I do make a point of download. I think I download most of those help files ahead of time. I try to. I used to anyway. That I know is coming from Ray Joe because it's not the sound that we were looking
yes,
for.
Yes, it is. All the windows are shut.
Neener. Paul says, if I hear one more European siren, I'm taking someone out. And you'll really
need a European siren.
Then you're going to really need them. Surface Pro and RT available via resellers in 17 new markets. What does that mean? New geographical locations?
Yes.
Yeah.
New geographical locations. So, you know, Microsoft announced in June that they were going to start letting certain authorized resellers carry the Surface RT and the Surface Pro. And today they announced there's 17 new markets where they're going to allow resellers to do that. So mostly
Austria,
in Europe.
Belgium, Canada, Denmark, mm-hmm. Finland, France, Germany, Ireland, Italy, Luxembourg, the Netherlands, Paul. Excitement. Norway, yep, Portugal, Belgium, Spain, Sweden, Switzerland, and the UK.
Yep. So we don't know the names of the resellers. They may be the same ones. I asked and I never heard back if they're the same 10. And they also announced today that, because we were talking about this last week, they're going to let distributors, there's three distributors, Ingram Micro, Synnex, and Tech Data, start distributing to the resellers. So slowly but surely, they're expanding the distribution for Surface. It's taking them a while, but they're starting to do it. And so this is good news for businesses, mostly, because those are the people who tend to buy through resellers. And
these guys can sell add-on services, right? Like, you know, extra warranties and backup services.
It's kind of amazing that Ingram is still in business.
Yeah.
They're still big.
They're still big, really. Yeah.
Speaking of PC DOS.
They come from the days where every piece of software came in a box and had to be driven in a truck to a store, and that's what the distributors did.
Yeah, you look for the best prices in the back of a magazine.
Yes.
There was all like ad pages.
Computer Shopper, baby.
Oh, man, remember that? That thing was like this thick. It was gigantic.
I miss it. I would always start in the back, read the ads.
Yeah, Byte Magazine used to be humongous, too. Remember, the thing was like an inch thick.
PC Magazine came out twice a month and was that thick.
Yeah.
Sure.
Those were the days we were rolling in dough.
I hate today.
This is what we want to go back to, ladies and gentlemen. The Microsoft Word 500-page
the command line
reference.
I want to argue about word codes versus GUI interfaces.
I love the dot command.
When is WordPerfect going to release a version for Windows?
Does Corel still do WordPerfect?
Allegedly.
Did they sell WordPerfect? No.
Well, they bought it. I don't know if they sold it.
I thought somebody else bought it again. No.
I used to really like WordPerfect. I really did.
Absolutely. They were, you know, back when they were already kind of a non-factor, and Corel owned them at the time. They were adding features to the product that Word didn't have. So, for example, you could select a formatting type of thing in a menu, and it would apply to the live document as you rolled over it, which was something you couldn't do in Word at the time.
Right. Ah, those were the days. Competition. Diversity.
Yeah. Sure.
The chat room is telling me that, yes, WordPerfect is still around.
Yep.
Does not surprise me.
No.
Nope.
I believe it adopted a ribbon UI at some point. I could be wrong about that, but I think it did.
So this is not surprising either, a class action lawsuit.
Yep.
Surface RT. What do they want? What are they asking for?
It's a law firm that has filed this in Massachusetts, right down the street from Paul's house, no doubt.
Uh-huh. Awesome. Yeah, but maybe literally on the street that Paul lives in.
It might be. This is a law firm, Robbins Geller, that goes after big corporations on SEC violations, claimed SEC violations. So their claim is that Microsoft made it look a little too rosy in the quarter before they took that $900 million Surface RT write down.
So this is a stockholder lawsuit, not end users.
No, stockholder lawsuit. Right. Okay. Yep. Okay. And we don't know. They're seeking unspecified damages. Microsoft's not commenting, but they don't even have a lead plaintiff for the suit yet. It's just like, hey, let's throw this out there and see how this goes.
Isn't there like a rule?
I thought they did have a single plaintiff, like a woman, like Gail, somebody or something.
Yeah, but then they're advertising for a lead plaintiff.
Well, because they want some major group of ambulance chasing.
That's just ridiculous.
They do. Yeah. They want, it's a total thing like that. Yeah.
Well, this is the same strategy that buzzards use when they're hungry. You know, you look for the animal.
We're
that's
looking for a lion
highway.
To kill something so we can have dinner.
Yep.
Any volunteers? Yep. Lions. Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow. Oh, that's sad. Can't we all just get along?
No, Leo. Yeah. No, we cannot.
Well, I don't like you either. Ayaz sent this one along.
This was a great picture.
If Windows releases were houses,
right?
Let's just take a look at this. So. We start with Windows 95. Nice little.
There's XP way up there.
Yeah, I should do it in order, chronological.
Oh, right.
Order,
I see.
Right?
What you're saying. Yeah.
So there's 95. Nice little bungalow. You wouldn't mind living in. You probably couldn't have your mother-in-law in there, but you could live there.
But a wolf could blow that down.
And so we made this next one out of stones. Love that. Or is it sticks? Yeah. It's hard to say.
It's like a log cabin, I think.
There's a lot of firewood. We're prepared for a long, cold winter. Jumping up to 2000, my personal favorite. Suddenly, we're in the Normandy countryside. We've got a French farmhouse made of stone. It looks like the Commodore's song. So we're going to move over. Apparently, this came out of Japan. This is, what version of Windows are we now looking at?
That's XP.
Oh, wait a minute. No, I don't want the punchline. All right, here we go. This is XP. It's more like an apartment house because it was multi-user, right? Yeah.
And kind of like a fortress.
but it had a garage. Yeah. So there we go. Now we're moving into Vista. Well, there was a problem. We had a little problem with the blueprints.
Look how solid that foundation is.
It's beautiful, but we were looking at them upside down. So it's the house came out upside down. And Windows 7, now we're talking. This is Frank Lloyd Wright territory, Falling Water.
That looks like part of a map from a Call of Duty game, but go on.
It's beautiful. This is the house, by the way, that I want.
I'm having Call of Duty flashbacks because it's been like 3 weeks, but please.
Continue. Oh, my God, you didn't bring it with you?
No.
No wonder you're breaking up. Then finally, Windows 8, ladies and gentlemen. there's something
they should have shown that, you know, this one should have been the Teletubbies house.
That's funny. So there you go. There's your thank you, IS, for passing that one along. The different if Windows were houses. That's like an oxymoron. Let's take a break. Would you like to have a nice, tall, refreshing glass of Schoof while I talk a little bit about one of our fine sponsors? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about Shutterstock.com, the great place to go to get your kind of unlimited selection of fine, royalty-free graphics. Let me pull up the Shutterstock site. In fact, why don't you follow along at home with me? Shutterstock.com, or better yet, if you have an iPad, get the iPad app, which is a Webby Award-winning app and is just gorgeous. Why do we like Shutterstock? A couple of reasons. First of all, they've got over 26 million images. In fact, if I scroll down, they do this, and I love it. They actually have the actual count. 28,491,344 royalty-free stock images. And this week alone, they added 181,000. So every time you go, you're going to find new stuff. Look at all the languages, too. I know we have a big international audience. Shutterstock supports all of these languages. It's everything, Russian, Swedish, Portuguese, because they're a truly global country. They have support and sales in every country, practically, with multilingual support services. So don't feel like Shutterstock is, you know, a U.S.-specific country. Far from it. Of course, there's always a free photo of the week. Here's what you do. Create a free account. You don't need to give them a credit card. Just sign up, and you can get the free photo of the week. This is a beautiful one. Sergey Niven's. That is, what a texture. That would be beautiful for a PowerPoint presentation. You see the variety of sizes. You can get even up to 300 DPI, 28 inches by 18 inches. You could put that on the wall. And now we're just talking about, right now, pictures and vector graphics. But there's also video. Lots of footage. 1,196,821 of the best royalty-free videos as well. If you visit Shutterstock.com, it's just create a free account. You can use the Lightbox application to save up, to share with friends. You don't need to buy anything. But when you do decide to buy, I do ask you to do one thing. Use our offer code Windows and the number 8, Windows 8, and you will save, and you're going to want to do this, 30% off any package or subscription. Windows 8 to save. That's almost a third. Shutterstock.com. Try the search engine. It's so powerful. It lets you search by emotions as well as things. It's great. You'll like it. Windows 8, that's the offer code, Shutterstock.com. We're talking Windows 8, Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. Paul's in Holland for one more day, and then he comes home, he's back to Massachusetts tomorrow night. And as you heard, jonesing a little bit, so I'm sure he'll sit right down at the Xbox console. But I'm a little disappointed to hear this. Microsoft is just delaying. I have a ship date from my Amazon of my Xbox One day one console of, I think, December 15th. That's just a dummy date.
Yep.
But apparently there is going to be a little bit of a delay. Is that right?
In some places.
In 8 markets.
Yeah.
Not U.S., I take it.
No, not in the U.S. Yeah, not in the U.S.
They're going to be delayed in Belgium, Denmark, Finland, the Netherlands. See, this, you got out just in time, Paul. Norway, mm-hmm. Russia, Sweden, and Switzerland. You'll be getting it in 2014.
Yeah.
Is that because straight of supply, or is there some other larger issue there?
They talked about delivering the apps and services that make sense for the different markets. They talked about the localization issues. I mean, I think they just bit off more than they could chew. Doing a single launch of a product that has to be custom-tailored for every one of those markets.
Oh, it's localization. It's putting
extremely
putting the Czechoslovakian.
The problem is, it's like, you know, it seems like every day there's some stupid bit of bad news about Xbox One. Like I don't know how you get around it, but it's just disappointing that they've been just on this never-ending cascade of bad news. It seems
not as much bad news as BlackBerry, but okay. It could be worse.
Yeah. That's true.
I am looking forward to it. The Kinect. I just ordered a brand new TV set to go with it, so I'm going to have a beautiful gaming rig.
Yeah,
I'm going to make sure there's 18 feet free in front of it, so I can have the Kinect working. It won't be that. It'll be better, right?
I think in Xbox One it's 17 feet.
Oh, that's good.
I don't know what it is. I'm sure it's got to be closer.
It was pretty bad. I was a little disappointed. I love Kinect, and I think it's cool. And
we can't use it in my living room.
I have to actually literally move furniture to use it, which makes
We had it positioned at a 45 degree angle for a little while, and that worked great until my son, who is a teenager type kid, so he's not very careful, like, you know, waltzed into it like a Chevy Chase routine, and so we just couldn't. It just doesn't fit.
No, and that's who's playing these games. That and lunkhead dads like you and me,
like drunk adults. The target market, like,
let's be honest,
children and rummies.
Who's more likely to fall on the furniture?
Yeah. When did that chair get here? that's pretty much been there for 25 years, Paul.
Never saw that before. Didn't see that one coming. I don't know. I'm still excited about this. I'm kind of disappointed almost even that Microsoft's back down on some of these. I don't care. I'm just get me the Xbox One. I'm looking forward to playing the games. You and me, right?
I should say we don't have this in the notes, but they did announce one bit of good news this week, which is this notion of season pass content, which, if you're not up on this, that, you know, you buy a game like Call of Duty would be an obvious example. where they have season pass content that is called, why can't I think of the name of it? It doesn't matter what it's called. But the point is you buy this thing and then you get all of the DLC as part of the package. So over time, as map packs come out and other things, they've added, you know, different things to the last game over the past year. Right. You just get it as part of the season's pass.
Yeah.
So with the new console coming out in November, a lot of people might have held off on game purchases until they got an Xbox One because they don't want to buy the season pass content twice. And so what they're doing is if you buy, say, you know, again, Call of Duty Ghosts on Xbox 360 and you buy the season's pass, but then you get an Xbox One, that season's pass content will work. Well, you can re-get it on the Xbox One. And so you don't have to buy that twice. So you do have to buy the game twice, obviously, but you don't have to buy that season pass content twice. And actually, you know, for hardcore gamer types who, you know, do that kind of thing, and you'd think I would know the name of it because I've done it 2 years in a row, but whatever it's called, Call of Duty, it's nice to have that kind of safety net knowing that you can move over without having to pay extra.
Oh, and we didn't mention this, but I got that email that I could not understand. Almost as complicated as the time zone email saying,
Oh,
by the way, your Xbox Live family subscription is being morphed into something incomprehensible.
Yes.
Have a nice day.
Home sharing. Have fun with that.
So I was really looking forward to talking to you, Paul, because I know you understand.
Yep.
What the hell? So one thing I understand is I'm going to get, instead, because I have a family, it's only those of us who have this family Xbox Live Gold.
Yeah.
But they're going to divide it up into different accounts, right? Up to four accounts.
Yeah, so it's hard to know exactly how this compares to the family account, but the way I understand it is that, you know, say myself, I have an Xbox Live Gold account. I could log on to the family Xbox out in the living room, and then the next four people or 10 people? I can't remember how many people.
I thought
but
it was four,
X number
but maybe
of people.
It's more. Okay.
Let's say it's four. I don't remember.
But I don't remember either.
They get the advantages of your Xbox Gold. Xbox.
And we may never know what we're going to get because Paul then disappeared from the face of the earth. Oh, I was really looking forward to having him explain this all to me.
He might come back.
He will.
He came back before.
He's been coming back on a regular basis.
He has.
So
let's start over. So it's going to take the Xbox Live, divide it up, but 10 people can come into my house. Apparently,
X number of people could log on with their own accounts, and if they're silver accounts, free accounts, whatever, they don't call them silver accounts, whatever the free account's called, they will be able to access your benefits. You know, so if you've installed apps, games, and all
that's
that
nice.
Stuff. It's really
actually,
nice.
That's
and
not bad.
Now, you know, it's the world amazes me. I mean, I if you get on Twitter or any kind of if you interact with human beings in any way, shape, or form, they have this really diabolical, to use that word again, way of always finding that one question that kind of gets under the skin a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
And so people will say stuff like, "Well, what if I'm not in the house?"
Okay.
And I'm using
what if I'm
someone
in a submarine? Okay.
No, they always do this, like, because Microsoft has given you two capabilities here: the ability to share that account at home, which we just discussed, is excellent.
Yeah.
But you can go to someone else's house.
Yeah.
Log in with your account, stream your own games down, and start playing them.
Neato.
You access your own games on the road as well. That's neat.
That's cool.
It sounds great, but see, the way people are is they always take the next step and they say, "Well, hold on a second. what if?" I'm on my account playing my game on someone else's Xbox, and my son wants to play the same game on my Xbox One at home. Will that work? Now, I don't know the answer to that. My guess is that, yes, it would work fine. But it's just amazing to me how they instantly make the leap to the one thing that could not work so they can now complain about that.
You see? I told you it was a bad idea.
You know what I mean? Like, they've given us these two neat things, which I think are very positive developments. Because remember, when they did all their reversals, they were going to get rid of the game sharing stuff for the most part.
Right. This is an improvement.
This is
a response to us.
So we don't have all the answers because they haven't been very clear.
Right.
Which I know is just shocking because Microsoft is usually so great about that stuff. but it's definitely better than it was.
It's an improvement.
Yes. I mean, I can't say it's definitely an improvement over, say, the family pack, but I think it's a reasonable alternative.
And it's only me and Henry, so I am actually saving money because I was paying $100 for the family pack a year, and I think it's now 76, 77, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saving money over the lifetime of it. Hey, Paul, they're suggesting in the chat room, this is a good thing we could try. You could just turn off the video. Let's see how that works.
Okay.
Because we really don't want to see you anymore anyway.
Yeah, no,
It's darkening.
Completely understandable.
It's the dumbening. So, let's just... this is fine. And let's see if... Because the audio is really what we care about. So we'll see how that
goes. So, honestly, I think it's still going to drop out. This might make it better. My experience with this has been that every so often...
It just
the
stops.
Connection drops.
Yeah.
And then within 30 seconds or so, it comes back.
It has to come back fast enough that Skype doesn't say, oh, I guess we're done.
I'm actually really impressed by that, by the way.
Yeah.
That we haven't disconnected.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The other thing is we're going to use our local currencies instead of gold points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
You mentioned this would happen.
That's another one. So that's classic, right? So I have complained about Microsoft points for years because Microsoft points is a way for you to give Microsoft a loan because, they need the money.
Right.
And then you make these purchases and you can never make enough.
you never get all the points.
So
you always have three or four points lying around.
You are in fact gifting Microsoft money.
Right.
So, okay, fine. But now they get rid of it. And now I'm already hearing from people who are like, I like Microsoft points. I don't understand why they have. Why can't they have both? It's like, guys, seriously.
Are these the same people who hate the start button, the ones who like Microsoft?
Yeah. I've never mapped those two audiences. Maybe they
are. It's the same people.
Me
but
too.
But I hate the start button. Why are they bringing that back? What is wrong with them?
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
You know... Somebody in the chat room said it, and it's absolutely true. The internet is a hate machine. There's going to be, and it amplifies individual voices. This is both good and bad. It's why we have democracy movements. But it's also why one guy in a basement in somewhere says, I don't like it. And it's become suddenly that's more than,
Not now, Mom. Someone's wrong on the internet.
I'm in here. Speaking of BlackBerry, I have mixed feelings on this. On the one hand, they've stumbled for so long. It just felt like put them out of their misery. But on the other hand, I deeply loved my first BlackBerry pager with a keyboard on it. I think the company deserved to continue success. I always thought they had enough installations in business and government that they couldn't possibly fail. But now word comes that... they're looking for a buyer. They may even break it up. They may sell the QNX portion of the business. Who knows?
Yep.
Kind of sad.
But then the next question for the Microsoft crowd is, so is Microsoft going to be the one who buys them?
Or do they, one thing is for sure they will pick up that business because I think they're the best. It's not going to be Apple that wants the enterprise stuff. I mean, they may want it, but they're not going to get it. Microsoft's the most likely to get
unfortunately.
It.
Unfortunately. Well, it's funny. So BlackBerry has over 70 million users. I don't remember the exact number.
It's still a big number.
Significant. Their market share is very small, right? So it's like it's the old two turkeys don't make an eagle kind of thing.
Yeah.
but I don't think I have not published this yet, but I have a little blurb in For Sure Takes tomorrow where Gartner also came out with their I don't know why I'm laughing. It's sad, really. But their market share figures for the smartphone industry, and Microsoft is in third place. And they sold 7.9 million units in Q2, and if they just sold 170 million more, that would be the same as Android. what the hell?
So close.
It's not
missed it by that much.
It's like the Super Dave thing. He's like, all I got to do is land on that bag. I missed it. they were 170 million short of Android.
In a quarter. We're not talking total or a year.
Quarter.
3 months.
So 70 million users sounds like a lot. But if Microsoft sold 70 million devices next month somehow, magically, and grew tenfold, they would still be over 100 million short of Android.
Wow.
And frankly, that's one of the concerns I have we don't want to be in a monoculture. We don't want it to be all Android. In fact, Fred Wilson wrote a very interesting piece, The Venture Capitalist, who is an Android fan, but he says, I don't want Android to sweep the table. I don't want Google to sweep the table. We need to have competition. We need a strong competitive environment. I want Apple to come up with something exciting in September. I doubt they will, but I want them to. And I really think that Microsoft deserves to do better with a Windows phone. But I got to point out that the same thing that killed BlackBerry has the potential of hurting Microsoft, which is too late.
Mm-hmm. Although, you know, by the way, I think I put this in the notes. Microsoft is still 3 years earlier than RIM coming up with that next-gen platform.
Yeah,
so,
right. That's true. Okay.
You know, it's 3 years is a huge amount of
BlackBerry time. BlackBerry 10 came out in 2013. So you're right. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, but you know, back to the question everyone keeps asking me this week. But you know, is Microsoft going to pick them up? And you know, in some ways, this kind of makes sense if you look at Microsoft's patterns of who they partner with. They always partner with underdogs, right? Yahoo, Nokia, Barnes and Noble. So it's right. Like, hey, right. If they don't buy them, would they at least partner with them, or would they buy the customers, or would they try to convince BlackBerry to switch their proprietary OS to the Windows Phone OS? Would that even work? I don't know. I just think, wow, that would be a huge task to suddenly switch those users over. But look what happened with Nokia, right?
Yeah.
And there were rumors forever that Microsoft was going to buy RIM. That was like one of those recurring rumors. It felt like every 6 months we'd see that rumor come back. So I'm sure Microsoft's kind of looking at it and saying, is it worth buying? Is it worth taking that on? Or should we just try to get patents from them if they start selling off their patents or what? So I'm sure Microsoft's kind of sniffing around and seeing what they should do, if anything, around BlackBerry at this point.
What would be the point of buying BlackBerry?
I don't know what the point would be. But what, I mean, remember that recently it was like Microsoft was going to buy Nokia, right?
That made even less point. We talked about that, of course.
And they actually came to the table. Wall Street Journal reported they were at the bargaining table and then Microsoft walked away.
They clearly did talk.
Yeah.
And apparently came pretty close. I actually think the Nokia-Microsoft lineup would make a little bit of sense. But I think when you look at something like BlackBerry, it's got to be intellectual property. It's got to be patents. I mean, they're not going to take – I mean, maybe integrate BAS features into Exchange.
Yeah.
I don't even know if that's
valuable. They already were kind of doing that, weren't they? They had worked with them before with Office 365 and the BlackBerry Enterprise Services, I think, to integrate those with Office 365. So they've partnered with them before around the enterprise. So it wouldn't just be out of left field. But still, you got to wonder, like, I just can never quite envision Microsoft wanting to be a phone maker. Like an actual device maker.
And that's what you'd be buying if you bought... I don't know. I think you can go after the enterprise
you could.
Features.
You could go that's after the enterprise want. Features or the patents, the back-end services.
I think
somehow.
They're going to be cheap.
Well...
Yeah.
Right?
BlackBerry. Yeah. The longer you wait, the better the price.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, you know, Google owns Motorola, and Motorola is run as essentially a standalone business. I mean, I guess you could make a case that kind of thing could work. Not that Motorola is setting the world on fire exactly, but
it's it is similar though. In fact, you know, Motorola was not doing well when Google bought them, and they bought them for $12.5 billion. Even if you look at the patents, it wasn't worth more than that, half that. So right. they bought a handset manufacturer, but there's other reasons why Google needs that. They felt like the Android marketplace was fragmented. That Microsoft doesn't have that problem. Yeah. They wanted to demonstrate what a clean version of Android could be as opposed to the crufted up versions that the handset manufacturers were foisting on us.
It's like they arrived at signature PCs about 2 decades earlier.
Right. And in fact, you know, in a way, I guess you could make that case for Surface, that's kind of what Microsoft was doing with Surface. Pointing the way anyway. I don't know if they need Nokia is such a good partner for them, and they are making such great phones. And HTC, let's give them credit. They're probably not selling many, but they're making some excellent Windows phones. Samsung still making the Ativ.
Yep.
I don't think they need new manufacturers.
Let's not forget Huawei. Whatever.
Huawei.
Now, and I have to say, Microsoft, unlike Google, really has controlled the ecosystem. And when you buy a Windows phone, you know what you're getting. Yeah. And it's not.
Well, that was one thing they had, you know, gotten right because of the mistakes they made with Windows Mobile.
Right. So sad to see BlackBerry struggling and probably
gone. What do you guys think,
though?
What's the outcome for BlackBerry? Is it WebOS or do they find a...
WebOS.
What do you call it? A sugar daddy.
It's
you know, I mean,
it's WebOS. Yeah. Unless you've got somebody like Huawei who. The problem is nobody's.
Or Lenovo.
Gonna,
Well, yeah, what about Lenovo?
Lenovo is the other, but nobody's going to trust a Chinese-run owned company to.
What about Samsung?
Korea,
right? Samsung is doing so well with Android.
Samsung's the only, by the way, credible competitor to Microsoft in terms of enterprise security. They're pushing this safe platform. They're very actively courting enterprise,
And so,
see, Microsoft enterprise is already in Microsoft's camp,
except not in phone.
Right.
which is
bizarre.
Well,
which
the enterprise is struggling with BYOD, bring your own device, and a lot of it's iPhones, and it's not working.
By the way, I think between the two of you, you just stepped on the reason that we have terms like BYOD and consumerization of IT, because it is this bizarre situation in which Microsoft has owned the enterprise, and all of a sudden these devices come out, and no, we need to wedge these into work.
Right. They're sneaking in. And they're changing everything. That's why the iPad is now accepted in the front office, because the iPhone was the wedge.
Sure.
So I think if I'm Microsoft, just between you and me, if I'm Microsoft, I do everything I can to get that BlackBerry business. And if it means spending $50 million, $100 million on BES, do it.
Oh, that's nothing. I mean, I how much did they spend on Skype? It was like 18 or 8.5 billion.
Billion, yeah.
I mean,
I don't know. Do we know what BlackBerry, what the asking price would be for BlackBerry? It can't be more than a few hundred million.
Were they selling it on someone's front lawn? How do they do it?
Chat room, do some research. See if you could figure out what are they asking. Call some brokers. What would it take? I get some free cash. I'm interested.
This one bothers me. You know, this is like WebOS in that I feel like they did good work. You know,
they did great work. QNX is great. And they have, by the way, car deals for QNX with almost everybody. Microsoft uses QNX.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
So the chat room's saying a billion.
A billion. Well, a billion to Microsoft is nothing. I could be mistaken, but I think they just...
Didn't they buy Instagram?
Wrote that.
They bought Yammer.
Yammer for a billion.
Yeah. More than a billion. But, I mean, they've got tons of cash right now, Microsoft. So much cash.
Now, the market cap for RIM is $5.5 billion. I don't know if that's related to... I mean, I don't know how that relates to sales price.
Yeah.
That's if you wanted to buy all their stock and take them private. And by the way, that's one of the plans. I can't see that happening.
Yeah.
That would be a path to irrelevance.
It makes me sad, though. I really...
No, it makes me sad too, and I mean that honestly. I for the same reason with WebOS and you know Palm before it, BOS before that. I feel like these companies made good products, and that in a different world, maybe these things could have really taken off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, and I think I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. We know, I think I mentioned last week from many years' experience in the trade and the technology covering technology that not the best technology does not always win, often does not. And this isn't a reflection on technology. This is just timing, marketing, a lot of other things. Yep. Timing mostly. Bad timing.
Well, Nokia did the same thing, right? I'm sorry. Nokia, I remember reading a big magazine article with the very Nordic looking guy who ran Nokia at the time talking about how they were all set. They were going to do great. They had nothing to fear from the iPhone. Ugh. And they had already fallen apart. And I think RIM kind of fell into the same trap where they thought they had all the answers and they took a little too long to kind of wake up to what had really happened to them. And it's too bad.
If you replace Nokia CEO with CEO Steve Ballmer and the word Nokia with Microsoft, that exact same sentence applies. Ballmer laughed when he said, that's too expensive. Nobody will buy the iPhone. And it took him, as a result, 3 years to come out with a competitor. But that's the history of technology. It's not their fault.
The Ballmer thing that comes up a lot. When he said that, the iPhone was $600, and 2 weeks or three weeks after he said that, they dropped the price dramatically. Right. So he was actually right. That phone was too expensive. I know that it's one of those quotes like the Bill Gates, you know, no one's ever going to need more than 640K or whatever.
Yeah.
I get that it's famous, but I think that one's a little cheap.
But okay, we'll leave that one out, but you still can say that Microsoft did not take the iPhone seriously enough.
I can say that. I have all kinds of experience with that being true.
We can leave out the too expensive because it was. But although What are we paying for a phone out of contract?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
$600, yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way, I believe the Windows phone I'm carting around right now is $750.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I wonder how he feels about the price of that phone.
Is that too expensive, Steve? Because people are buying it.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, no, they're not buying this one. But yeah, I hear what you're saying. Yeah.
Well, it's just it's not anybody's fault. It was kind of an amazing thing, just as long as we're talking about history, when in 1995 Bill Gates suddenly woke up and said, "Oh my God, this internet thing may actually happen," and wrote the memo and turned Microsoft on a dime. And that's an amazing historical precedent, because it is the exception that proves the rule. It is exceptional that he was able to do that.
Yeah. I wonder if there's a lesson. You know, how the Microsoft of today could learn from what they did then, right? Because they bought or licensed, what was it, Spyglass technology
to make IE. Quickly. Yeah, yeah. By the way, that is the picture you're seeing of Paul. We're using a static picture of you. Is from that era. That's Paul Theroux at the Windows 95 launch. Actually, it could have been me. I looked like that, too. No, we're not sending you video anymore. By the way, that solved the problem. So thank you to the chat room.
Oh, good. Yeah. Do I have safety dance hair in that video? In that picture?
I don't know. Yep. Mary Jo, is that what that is?
He does. Yes, he does.
You can dance if you want to. You can leave your friends behind.
My son carries around a picture of me in his phone that he took off of a photo that was on the wall of my mother's house, which is me in 1985.
Yeah.
And he pulls it out occasionally just to make fun of me.
Big hair.
And he said, and he just looks at it and he says, "Chump."
You know, kids are so much alike. My kids did the same thing. They found a high school picture of me and they called me geek.
Nice. Yeah.
They said, "You were a geek in high school." I said, "I wasn't a geek." Yes, you were, Dad. Look at this picture.
He says, "Did you take this photo on the day that the chess club wasn't meeting?"
Exactly.
He says things like that.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Children, you're so glad, Mary Jo, that you did not have any.
Oh, they're the best.
Glad every day.
They say...
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
The gift that keeps on giving, yeah.
Yeah, although my stepdaughter does razz me about being a geek as well.
Oh, well, there you go.
Can't get away from...
I didn't know you had a stepdaughter. How old is she?
28.
Oh, she's ancient.
She's ancient now.
She doesn't have any right to rag you anymore.
Still does.
Mom, you're a geek. Google versus Microsoft. Paul has been counting. He says this is round 1,927,377.
Yeah.
More court cases.
Actually, amazing. So, that one was great.
Mary Jo counted.
Good for you. So depressing.
You know what?
This is so depressing.
You're a geek.
Yeah, I am a geek. And this story is example of my geekdom here, because I thought Microsoft and Google had kind of come to an arrangement around YouTube for Windows Phone. Earlier this week, we saw the new YouTube app show up in the Windows Phone store. It looked really good. And it was like, wow, they actually, you know, put on their big boy pants over there and everybody worked together. And here's the app. And today we find out Google is blocking the app because they say Microsoft is violating their terms of service again with this app. They had a long explanation saying, you know, we tried to work with Microsoft. We wanted them to build this app based on HTML5, but they haven't made their browser upgrades that are necessary to enable a fully featured YouTube app. So we're blocking it. Microsoft says, yep, Google's blocking our app. Nothing else to say about it. And so you've got to wonder, okay, weren't these two companies working together to build this app? And if they were, how did this just happen? Like, Microsoft, you would think, had Google's blessing when they put this in the store this week, and suddenly, boom. Yep.
This is an exact replay of what happened last time.
It is the exact replay. Except last time, Microsoft reverse engineered the app and built it because Google wouldn't let them have access to the APIs they needed to build the app. So this time, supposedly, they're working together. Everything's good. Google's giving them the access to the APIs. Microsoft's buying in and saying, yes, we'll serve up the ads. Boom. Something went wrong, and now the app is blocked.
Now they're worried about HTML5. Seriously?
They say it violates terms of service, but they don't say what portion of the terms of service. Microsoft has not made the browser upgrades necessary. That's what Google said last time too, though. They didn't like IE. They didn't like the way it worked. That's why Maps doesn't.
This is a trap. This was like, oh yeah, no, we're gonna work with them. And then they put it out and they're like, oh no, sorry. Actually, so the joke's on you guys. Your browser and your product is not sophisticated enough for YouTube, so we're not gonna allow that. It's like this, you know, I find this whole thing to be bizarre. Why would
I want to know what happened? We don't know what happened here, and nobody's talking right now. Like, Google won't tell us what happened, and Microsoft won't tell us what happened. But obviously, something happened that made this go bad.
Right.
Think about who would have been involved in these talks, right?
Right.
Windows Phone is like the Estonia of Microsoft. It's nothing. And then I could only imagine, like, some new intern arrives at Google and they're like, "Hey, guess what you're doing? You're going to be in charge of dealing with Microsoft and the YouTube app for Windows Phone, that huge platform that we're so scared of." And just tell them what they need to know, and we'll block it later. I mean, I can't even imagine the crazy low level baloney that occurred to make this happen.
Do you really think it was low level? You don't think this is at the higher level? No.
Oh no, I think go ahead.
It's politics above all else, right? It's like.
Yep. Yep.
Google has said they won't build a YouTube app for Windows Phone because they say there's just no demand for the platform, and we're not going to build one for Windows 8 either. And so Microsoft says, "Well, we need these apps, and so we're gonna have to build them." Right. And Google's like, "No, we're going to stop you by withholding the access to the APIs." So it's a tit for tat, right? It's like Google doesn't want to help them get access because that'll help grow the platform, and Microsoft needs it. But they have to go around the terms of service to get access to it.
So there's no conceivable case where Microsoft is actually violating terms of service. This is a legalistic way to kind of screw them.
This is bullshit.
I mean, the throwing out there of the words terms of service, there are so many different terms of service that you have to adhere to.
I wish they'd say what they were so we know if they did or didn't.
Yeah. Before it was they weren't serving up the ads and they were allowing people to download videos.
Which was completely understandable because Google's never allowed that, and I understand that.
Yeah. So.
This reminds me of the Maps snafu, because I do remember Google saying before, your browser does not support something and is not sufficient, so we're not going to, even in the browser, let you use Maps. Remember that? Am I wrong?
Yep.
Yeah.
They still screw around with the IE stuff. If you try to,
hold on, Paul. Hold on. Just take a deep breath.
Take a deep breath. Take a sip of La Chouf.
La Chouf.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
There.
You're better.
Yep.
Start over. So,
even in Windows 8 with IE 10 or Windows 8.1 with IE 11, if you go to a Google website and log in and you get a notification through that little Google Plus thing up in the corner that you can't turn off, you cannot click on that and have it do anything. It will not work.
Right.
Like, they still play that game.
Right.
Yep. You know, and I'm sorry, but those browsers represent a significant percentage of what's happening online on PCs. Like, it's so purposeful and so obviously purposeful. It's just pointless.
Sigh.
Yeah. Well, they're fighting. Okay.
They're
fighting.
Yep.
And they're fighting, I don't know why, because Google's so dominant in pretty much every area that Microsoft is attacking them. I mean, they're beating them over a search, they're beating them over phones. Why is Google even?
Yeah, well,
you know,
precedent.
And also sometimes when we see these companies fighting, it's not about what they're fighting about. It's not that. It's like Microsoft may be behind the scenes doing something, agitating courts around Google and antitrust. So, hey, we're going to pay you back.
Maybe patent blowback.
Yep.
Yeah, that's probably what it is.
Yep.
Patent blowback.
Patent blowback.
It's like a Van Damme movie.
So Paul's been the phone you were talking about, $350 phone you've been carrying around is, of course, the 1020.
Yeah, the Lumia 1020.
And I know you've loved it. Everybody I know who's got one have loved it. Tony Wang, our editor-in-chief, just bought one with his own hard-earned money.
Oh, did he really? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, and I, by the way, I'll be doing the same. I mean, I have a loaner, you know, now from Nokia. But, the problem with this phone, and this is kind of a screwy thing to complain about, is that this camera has ruined me for every smartphone that's going to be made for the foreseeable future. Like, even Nokia, they contacted me recently and said, "Hey, would you like to review a Lumia 925?
No.
And I was like,
"No."
2 months ago would have been great.
No.
I mean, I will, of course. But it's like, now I'm going to use this camera, you know, and it would have been great, you know, compared to a 920 or a 928. You know, there's some improvements in the camera, but compared to 41 megapixels and all the zoom stuff. So there's that. The other thing I just is sort of an anecdotal thing that has nothing to do about why you should buy the phone per se, but this is kind of my Scoble moment in a way, which you'll understand in a moment. I have dropped this phone twice in Europe. One time I dropped it in, I want to say Antwerp or Ghent. I don't remember which town it was, but I dropped it onto cobblestones. And I you know, from a height of, say, like 3 feet or something. And it, you know, bounced off the cobblestones, and I picked it up. And
that's a heart-stopping moment. That's oof.
Yeah. Well, I just picked it up, and I kept going. And my son said, aren't you going to look at that? And I said, no, it's a Nokia. It's fine.
Wow.
And he was like, yikes. And it was. It was fine. Not even a scratch. This is a little messed up. This is gonna. When I get ready in the morning, like if I shave and stuff and shower, I listen to podcasts, right? And I do this with my phone. And at home, I have a speaker in my bathroom,
right?
And here, you know, when I'm on the road, I don't. Yeah. And so, you know, you just have the phone. And so I'm shaving, and I get the phone, and I'm listening to a podcast. But the house that we're staying in, it has this ginormous shower, like it's really big. Like the shower is the size of my bathroom at home. So I'm in the shower one day, and I'm looking over at the corner of the shower, which is very far from me because it's a huge shower. And I notice there's like a hook up on the wall, and I'm thinking, oh, maybe I could bring the phone in here in the shower, which sounds terrible, but it's, you know, wouldn't get wet. And so I did. And for weeks I've been doing this. Like I checked it to make sure it would be strong enough, and it was fine. It's been sitting there. So today I'm taking a shower, and I hear the sound of shattering glass and a huge crash. And I think to myself, I'm like, I broke this freaking thing. And I'm like, I was just bragging about how strong this thing was. And there is not a scratch on this device. There is not a scratch. It fell 3 feet. It hit tile that was an inch thick. And it with the sound that sounded like glass was the metal hook hitting the tile. That somehow that between that and the weight of the crash of the phone sounded like glass shattering. I thought pieces of glass were going to be all over the shower. And nothing was wrong.
Wow. So it's a tough phone. Yeah, Tony has a spec case over it. But, you know, people knock polycarbonate, but it really is so much more robust than the other choices. It's a case of itself on its own.
Do you guys want to hear an update right now on the Google-Microsoft thing that just came out?
Just in, Mary Jo Foley.
This just in. So Microsoft just posted a new blog post about this saying, here's what they're saying. Google asked us to transition our app to a new coding language, HTML5. This was an odd request because neither YouTube's iPhone app nor its Android's app are built on HTML5. I'm kind of surprised Microsoft's objecting since they're trying to get everybody else to develop apps now in HTML5. But he said, this is from Brad Smith, I think. Nevertheless, we dedicated engineering resources to it, looked into it, and then Microsoft made a decision to publish its non-HTML5 app this week. So it sounds like the talks broke down.
Who's setting whom up here, you know?
I know.
That's why we can't really know what's going on because, I don't know, that's a little...
Yeah, so I'm asking for comment from Google, so nothing yet on that.
So Google says we wanted HTML5. Maybe for all we know, Google's moving to HTML5 on iOS and Android.
Maybe. I'm surprised those apps aren't all written in HTML5. It seems like that would be an easy way for Google to update them, you know, across all the platforms if everybody was doing the same thing, right?
Well, and they may be doing that. I don't know.
Maybe. Yep. So that's the update on that story.
And Gadget's saying Microsoft reverse engineered the ad system for the native app instead of writing a native HTML5 app. So that's an interesting take on it as well.
Please baloney.
Say again, Paul. I had you turned off while you were stuttering. No. Go ahead.
This talk about how they were working together on this
wasn't so.
Unbeknownst to us, didn't even happen.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like it happened to some point, and then they stopped.
Then the intern had to go back to school, or what? How did that
exactly. That's exactly what happened.
That's disappointing.
Yeah. Sigh. Before we get to our picks of the week, we've got a little hardware news. Oh, well, So, did you want to say anything more about the camera in the phone, Paul? I mean,
no. I think I pretty much.
You've taken 2,000 pictures. That says
something.
I've
taken a lot of pictures. Yeah,
that says something.
Yep. I mean this honestly because over the course of a year, I typically, you know, you go around in life and you take pictures with your cell phone, and sometimes they stink, and sometimes they're okay. But you know, when an event happens, like a birthday party or a trip,
that's when
you pull out the camera.
Yeah.
And on this trip, I made the decision that I would try. I mean, I brought the camera to Europe, but I'm like, I'm going to try to use this thing and see how it goes. And I got to tell you, like I said earlier, this thing has destroyed me for other smartphones. This is a camera. The photos from this trip are as good or better, probably better than any I've taken on any previous trip.
That's really cool because it's your phone.
Yeah. They're amazing. Yeah. Yep. You know, for this kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a professional photographer, but.
Hey, I've seen some of the pictures. They're pretty good. The Sculpt Ergonomic.
Yeah. Have you guys seen this weird keyboard?
I'm going to look at it right now. Let's see.
Yeah.
You know what, though? It's not that weird if you overlay it onto that keyboard I showed you that I used. Yeah. It's like they've hollowed out the back.
Yeah, there's another Microsoft keyboard that already exists. It's a natural keyboard, right? That has the keys.
Yeah,
kind of
a lot of people love that for ergonomics.
That's what I use. That's what I use at home. I love it.
It's kind of swoopy doopy. It's weird, but it tilts the keys out, and it's supposed to be much better for you.
Yeah. So this is the new version of that. That's way more kind of odd looking, but kind of cool looking too. It's domed in the middle, so it goes up at an angle, has a built-in wrist pad. I'm typing on it right now, in fact. Has a separate, you don't see it in this picture I have here, but there's a separate number pad that is detached. So if you just want to work on numbers, you have your own little dedicated number pad.
In business, that's big.
I know.
Lisa won't buy a keyboard that doesn't have a dedicated number pad.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah. Because you do a lot of spreadsheets. You need that.
Yeah, sure. So the top row of keys on this keyboard are actually, they're function keys that map to the charms in Windows 8, which is a kind of an interesting idea, too. So, you know, there's the search charm and the other charms.
Nice.
They're all up there. Yep. And then the mouse is what I really love. This mouse is big. It's kind of almost like a combined, like it gives you the feel of a trackball, but it's also a mouse. And it's much bigger than the mice that Microsoft's building lately, which is good, I think. If you've ever had carpal tunnel problems, this really raises your hand up in a dome. And it has, as you can see there, a Windows key to take you back to the start menu. Yep.
Oh, I like that.
Right on the mouse. Yep. The downside to this mouse, which I found out belatedly, is it's built for right-handers, and you can't switch that thumb rest to make it a left-handed mouse.
Are you a lefty,
mouse.
Too?
No, I'm a right-hander, but, you know, they decided that 90% of people are right-handers, so we're going to just make it for right-handers.
Screw you, lefties! Well,
that's
I'm a
what
lefty,
they do.
And that means I can't, I won't buy it.
Oh, you are? Yep. Yeah. So, yeah. Yep. Yeah. And then it's coming out, this is coming out this month. If you buy the combination keyboard mouse thing, it's out today, I believe. It's $130. And then they're going to make the keyboard and mouse available separately. The keyboard will be $81. The mouse will be $60. Those are all coming.
The mouse. I'm not a big fan of swoopy doopy keyboards, but I think I'd buy that mouse if there were a left-handed version.
I wonder why you can't. Like, can you guys see the mouse here? It's like, why can't they just take the thumb rest and put it over here? Like, why couldn't you?
You know, and maybe they will. They could.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lot of mice are unfortunately. Righty only. It's not unusual.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a big deal to find a lefty mouse. Most of the time I buy agnostic mice, which don't, you know, they're symmetric. They don't care.
Yeah.
The old traditional classic Microsoft mouse, it doesn't care.
Right.
Oh, well. Hey, before we take a break and get to our beer of the week, the most important, meal of the day, let's talk about our friends at Carbonite.com, online backup done right. If you are in a small business, if you, anybody who has data they don't want to lose, it's more, you know, arguably more important in business. I guess if you have baby pictures or wedding pictures or financial records on your personal computer at home and you lose that, that's a pretty big deal. On the other hand, if it's, you know, you're a business and you lose your accounts receivable, that's a multi-billion dollar enterprise that you could be down the tubes. Not us, but So that's why backup is really important in business. And Carbonite has a solution, both for individuals. In fact, their Carbonite backup for one computer, a Mac or a PC, is $59.99 a year, less than $5 a month for everything on that computer. But they also have products for people with external drives, networks, and, of course, businesses, small businesses, too. In every case, it's a single low yearly flat fee for everything you've got. You don't have to worry about getting tiered to another level. You know exactly what the cost is going to be. And when you use our offer code WINDOWS to try it, and you can get 2 weeks free, no credit card needed, just to use the offer code WINDOWS, you'll get 2 months free with purchase, which makes it even more affordable. Carbonite is automatic. You don't have to delegate an employee. You don't have to remember it. You don't have to tie a string around your finger, put your wedding ring on the other hand, or anything like that. You just, it's automatic. It's continuous. Whenever you update a file, it gets backed up right away. Whenever your computer's connected to the internet, it's great for laptops especially. My son's going off to college next week. He's taking a laptop. Of course, he's taking Carbonite, too. Carbonite.com. Use the offer code WINDOWS. You can try it free for 2 weeks. Get 2 months free with purchase. Carbonite.com. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. Paul is in Amsterdam, coming home tomorrow. Did you load up?
Leo.
Yeah.
So I've seen the photo you were using for me.
Yeah.
And that picture is almost 20 years old.
Yeah.
It was taken on the campus of Scottsdale Community College in Arizona.
Looks just like you.
With you will enjoy this, an Apple digital camera. Remember
the quick take.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what that
is.
That's
why it's so low resolution. It's 640 by 480. Yeah.
I'm surprised it's that good.
But that was the color quick take, and that was like an $800 camera. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I think the school bought it, I think, at the time.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so one of the first kind of digital, well, maybe not one of the first digital cameras, but I think the first digital camera I had ever seen.
It was one of the very first, certainly the first one you could afford. They had very, 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 yeah, very $10,000, you know, digital cameras before that, but that was a big one.
Yep.
So you're, let's see, we're going to not make Paul do anything today.
Well, okay, so I don't have any picks, but I'll have some discussion about beer at the end.
Okay.
More importantly, we will talk beer, but let's get Mary Jo's Enterprise pick of the week.
Yes. So this week, Microsoft launched a series of blog posts on its MSDN site, and it's going to be a multi-part series. There's about three or four of them up so far, and they're all about Hadoop for .NET developers. This is kind of cool, actually, because these posts are not real long. They're not super techie.
What are you laughing at, Thurrott?
He knows who I'm making fun of there. yeah, so
Paul's having fun.
He is.
Is somebody tickling you? Go ahead.
Sorry, that's what happens when I hear the word Hadoop.
He heard Hadoop.
Hadoop for .NET. That's a great. That's
Hadoop
almost
for .NET.
An E. Cummings poem.
It kind of is, yes.
It's a haiku.
Yeah. There are already, five posts up. Understanding Hadoop, setting up a desktop development environment if you're using Hadoop, setting up an Azure cluster. And this is really, I think, going to be useful because Microsoft has a lot of .NET developers. They keep talking about, you know, we want to harness the power of big data. And so, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. But, like, what do I do? I'm a .NET developer. And so this is going to break it down, really getting into stuff like Azure Vault storage, MapReduce, Hadoop. And all the things that as a .NET developer you might want to know. So the way to find this is to look for a blog on MSDN that's called Data Otaku, OTAKU. Just do a search for that. You'll find it. It's a database site on MSDN that this author is doing these posts. He's a database expert, which isn't surprising given that Hadoop works with databases. So there you have it. That's my enterprise pick of the week.
Wow. Otaku is the... those are
Otaku.
OTAKU.
Yes.
Those are the Japanese nerds, basically. The people.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah.
Funny. I didn't know that.
They're into manga or pillow women or whatever. It's, you know, it's a form of like extreme Japanese nerddom.
Yes.
Otaku.
Interesting.
So I don't know why they named it that. Maybe they're... You know, in Chinese, the same... sounds can mean many things, so maybe otaku means something else in this context.
That sounds like it could mean that. That makes sense.
Or it could mean a database nerd who never leaves home.
Exactly.
all right, and then we have a code name of the week. This can't be it. That was it. No.
Yeah.
Otaku was it.
No, sorry. I just
in the notes, it says the code name of the week is name.
Oh, sorry. That was my mistake.
That would be a good code name.
That would be a great code name. No, I actually just updated the OneNote. And the code name of the week is Mooncake.
Mooncake.
Awesome. Yes.
I'll take two.
Yeah. So, you know, like this
Cat
is funny.
Stevens song.
I've been walking on a moon cake. Is it made of cronut?
Yeah, it's a cronut. No, nice. It's not. So, you know, moon cakes are these pastries that people eat in China to celebrate, I believe, the New Year.
That's right.
Right. So when Microsoft announced Windows Azure in China last year, I believe they announced it, they announced they were going to be working with the Shanghai government and 21 via net to do a whole implementation of Windows Azure for China. I never knew what the code name of Windows Azure in China was, but it is Mooncake. And I found a post about this and I got a tip on this. And it's, I guess the reason is Mooncake represents harmony and happiness. So Microsoft's hoping to bring harmony and happiness through Windows Azure in China. Isn't that nice?
And when they come out with the Arkansas version of Windows Azure, they're going to call it Moon Pie.
Yes. Or Moonshine.
Or Moonshine. No, that's the Tennessee version. It's all, it's a multifold strategic plan.
Exactly. Yeah. So there you go. Mooncake is the cookie.
That's a big sigh, Paul. That's a mighty big sigh.
He just wants to get to the beer picks. He doesn't care about that.
All right. And so Mary Jo, because we made her do the picks, she's going to cede the floor to Paul Thurrott. And
we could both do a beer pick, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can never have too many beer picks. I certainly would not want to discourage you.
Mine is quick. My beer pick is quick. So since we talked about the left hand and the mouse, did you know, Leo, that August 13th was Left Handers Day, International Left Handers Day?
Why didn't? Yes. I must have dropped off the Left Handers mailing list.
I guess you did.
Shocked.
Yep. So in honor of Left Handers Day, I picked as my beer pick Left Hand Milk Stout. So Left Hand Brewing makes a lot of really good beers, and Milk Stout is delicious. It's a stout that they brew with lactose milk sugar at the end, and it gives it a nice creamy, almost like a milk-like feel and taste, but in a good way, in a beer. So I think everybody can find this in every market. They export it out of Colorado, and it's all over the place. So give it a try. Left Hand Milk Stout.
Mm-mm-mm. Paul, did you find any delicious brews while you were out there? And really,
yes,
in many
Leo,
ways,
Ben,
Amsterdam, Holland, beer capital, right next door to Belgium, another beer. You're there. You're in the land of beer.
So here's the thing. This is kind of interesting to me. Like, the Netherlands is not actually known for good beer, right? Heineken is here. Amstel beer is here. These are Pilsners. These are Budweiser type beers.
Yeah.
Not great beers.
Yeah.
The greatest beer in the world is in Belgium, which is right next door.
Yeah.
And that's great. So Le Chouf, which is the kind of classic Belgian. You should click on that link, by the way. The website is beautiful. Is a fantastic.
Oh, the Le Chouf possibly, website. Oh, let me pull that up.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely one of my favorite beers now.
I can't wait to open it. I'm so excited. And thanks to our Parisian fan who sent me some.
Oddly enough, though, just a few nights ago, we stopped by a local brewery, and I'm not going to be able to pronounce it. I talked to them there, and they said everyone from America has a hard time pronouncing this. But the words you're seeing there are basic. It's brewery of Idge, which is not
Idge's
it.
Brewery.
And I know that people from Amsterdam are listening and cringing, at my pronunciation.
How do you pronounce that, though?
I actually don't know. I'm sorry. It's very hard.
Brewerijtidge.
So their beer, which I would be shocked if you could buy it anywhere in the United States, is unbelievably good.
Look for the drooling ostrich on every label.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That Zot, the triple, which is not a triple like an IPA hoppy triple. It's a shockingly smooth for a triple Belgian ale, basically. It's it might be literally the best beer I've ever had in my life.
What?
And it's from the Netherlands. And so we have a new winner, or I have a new winner anyway. I mean,
which one of the Brewer Vujuts do you like?
The third. It's Zot.
Zot.
So there's a double, which is kind of a darker beer for some reason. Not is a, the double is a dark
Zoma Blonde, which sounds good. Oh, Zot. which looks like latte with a Z.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. It is unbelievable. And so we went to Elsa's again tonight, right for the show. And I sort of assumed I'd be going to get Lachouf, but I had this the other night, and I was like, they had it there, so I had to get it.
Good luck ordering that at a bar in Boston.
I know.
No, I want some Brewer Visit Zat.
Yeah.
Are you short circuiting? No, Brewer Visit Zat.
I don't know if I forwarded this to Mary Jo, but yes. If you haven't done this, you got to go to, is it called talkboston.com or speakboston.com?
Yeah.
Oh my God. This is the funniest. It's an ad for one of the satellite dish companies.
But the Dish Network has these Boston guys. I'm watching my Red Sox on the iPad.
That's like Whatabubbler.
Whatabubbler. I used to use a Whatabubbler when I was a young man. Yeah.
We did too. Like, I don't think anyone outside of that area
call it a bubbler. That was in Providence. We call it a bubbler.
It was like Slamma.
Slamma.
I can't go back to Bahaba because I was in the Slamma.
Slamma.
Now I need to call my lawyer.
I'm wicked sore after being in the Slamma.
Yeah. Yeah. This one is garbage.
Garbage. Now all I get is loading on the on the page.
It's like
Loden.
What you just said is garbage.
Garbage. That's why I'm watching Ray Donovan. I just love the accents.
It's
hysterical.
It's perfect.
Garbage.
Is perfect.
I would love to speak Boston. Here it is.
It's
talkboston.com.
A lot of these accents are really terrible, but on this thing, they got guys. The guy, I guess, that they got for this is perfect.
So this is real. This is not a bad fake. Boston is a
second
language.
Welcome to Boston as a second language. Khakis? Khakis.
What's the car keys?
Khakis.
What's the pants?
The easy way to remember this is you put your khakis in your khakis and not the other way around. Everybody got that?
Oh, my God. One of the good ones is 40.
Go to talk.
It's like 40.
40? 40?
I would never date a woman over 40.
Over 40? This is
or
great.
Or Monday. No, it's like Monday and Sunday.
Monday and Sunday?
He's like Sunday.
Sunday. Shacks. Napa. Escalator.
Sunday sucks because it's the day before
dinner.
Or Monday. It's like, oh my God.
Escalator.
I love that. Whatabubbler.
Whatabubbler. I gotta do that one. Whatabubbler. This is great. This is talkboston.com. It is an ad
to Boston as a second language.
It is an ad for Dish, by the way. I like it that they're going with the Boston thing.
We're gonna move into some flashcards, okay? They got some simple words in Boston for you. So I want you to read the word and then use it in a sentence, okay? Donnie boy, you gotta take the first one.
Yad. You can watch live TV anywhere while cutting your yad.
That's my boy. All right. Jackie, come on.
Sunday.
Yeah.
Watching TV on Sunday takes your mind off the fact that tomorrow is Monday.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. All right, everybody. This is great. All right. Cakes, come on. Here you go.
Whatabubbler.
Yeah.
I was watching TV at the park, and I got a bit parched, so I got a drink at the Whatabubbler.
I mean, even paying attention in class.
I was watching TV in the park.
Oh, my God.
Perched. That is funny. Tack Boston. Yes.
It's really good.
We were both joking. It's lucky neither of us talk that way since we're both in Boston.
Oh, you're from Boston too, Mary Jo? I didn't know that.
I am.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I'm from Providence, so really the three of us, we should all be talking like that.
I know, right?
Right.
I'm gonna study, and next week, Paul, I'm gonna try to have mastered this accent, and you can grade me on it. Paul and Mary Jo can grade me.
It's like I'm talking to my brother, or as I would call him, my brother.
Yeah. My brother. It's now it's in. It's the new in regional dialect. So good on you.
It's on the. I mean, the problem is, like anywhere else in the world,
nobody talks that way.
Boston, a much more diverse place than it used to be. And yeah, there's a lot of people here that don't speak that way, and you know, it's kind of going away. But every once in a while, you run into a, you know, a waitress or someone in a store, just a person, whatever it is, and you hear that accent
like
again.
That. I love it.
And it's just priceless. You know, my brother still talks like that.
And it's one of the reasons I actually love Ray Donovan is because it's they all talk that way in Hollywood, which is hysterical. Here, by the way, is how you pronounce. Somebody in our chat room has recorded. Oh, they said they recorded how to pronounce that. I guess, Leon, are you a Dutch person? He's put it on SoundCloud, but I cannot access it, alas. Wait a minute. Here it is. Here is how you pronounce Bruges.
There it is.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Brouwerij Tij.
Ha ha!
See?
Doesn't even look like that.
No.
What you should get is him on there to pronounce tornado. I had dinner with him the other night.
Oh, you know that? Yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah. All right. We have a steak.
Thank you, Leon. That's great.
Which has a Dutch name, but I just call it tornado.
Let's try it again. Here we go.
Brouwerij Tij.
Okay. And there's a little music. Well, Paul. Well, Mary Jo. I wish you a safe flight home, Paul, with you and your family. And
thank you.
Thank you for sharing your new favorite beer. I can't wait to see if I can find some.
Brouwerij
Tij.
I'm going to go right down here to Taps.
I'm shocked that was exported.
Do you have Brouwerij Tij? I'm actually going to bring my SoundCloud with me and say, hear that? Do you have that? What?
I actually think the name is going to be part of the reason it's going to be hard to find because no one would have any way of even explaining what that was.
Spell Brouwerij. For some reason, there's a random apostrophe, T,
yep,
capital I-J.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pronounced...
Brouwerij Tij.
Just like it sounds.
Exactly. It is phonetic.
And don't search for Zot, apparently, because if you search for it, you get boobs, according to Kingerick.
I'm pretty sure that the Dutch language is like the Spanglish of like English and German.
It is. You know? I'm sure it's a, yeah. Hey, thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. Safe travels home. Thank you, Mary Jo Foley. You can find Mary Jo Foley at allaboutmicrosoft.com. Paul's back blogging at the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com. And, of course, you can catch us every Thursday, 11 a.m. Pacific. That's 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC on twit.tv when we do Windows Weekly. But we'd also make on-demand audio and video available after the fact at twit.tv/WW or on YouTube, youtube.com/Windows Weekly, or wherever you find finer podcasts. In fact, if you subscribe, you won't miss an episode. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly.